You are listening to the Word of Deliverance Church podcast. For more information or to make a donation, please visit us at wodchurch.com.
You know, if you went to church with me when I was your age, shook your head like that, they would think you was crazy as a billy goat. I remember one time in church, one guy got excited and ran through the church. Holy Ghost got on him. Didn't know what else to do, so he just ran through the church. You know what they did? They asked him not to come back anymore. So, man, you are so blessed to be in a place, man, to have a little bit of different color hair, to dress just a little bit different. Man, brother, if you would have went to my church back when I was your age, I tell you what, I don't think they'd let you in. But that's crazy, yeah. But, man, we are so blessed to be able to gather in a place like this. And I want to thank the Hiles family and Miss Lisa for making a place for us to be able to come and express ourselves in Jesus Christ. Amen. Come on. Yeah. Pastor Jack, Pastor Shirley, all the Hiles family, I tell you what, I don't know if y'all understand how much of an impact you have into this generation. This generation that will declare his generation. You all are key people, man, that's helping young people to declare the generation of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm just excited to... I was back there trying to sling my head just a little bit like that and got a little bit of a crick in my neck. So anyway, I need a wig to do it. Okay, well, I'll leave it up to Bishop Huskins because I've still got that crick working right there. But anyway, I believe it'll leave here. Yeah. Yeah, I may try them. If you'll rinse them teeth off back there, I may try them there after a while, but I only have to rinse them there a little bit. But man, we are so honored to be here. It's just a blessing to be here. And, I usually minister before, I guess you can say, an older group of people. But man, right here, I just feel like I can rear back like a hammer on a Winchester. If I want to stand on my head, I can stand on my head right here. And I tell you what, I just feel good in preaching them blue jeans. Holy cow, man. Yeah, it feels right. My wife told me one time, she said, I wear blue jeans. This is the way I am right here. If you see me in Lake City, this is the way I am. Sometimes I got short pants on. Sometimes I got one of them wife beater t-shirts on. She jumped on me one day. She said, listen, Justin, she said, you need to start dressing like a preacher. And I said, what's a preacher dress like? So that done that right there. But anyway, I'm just happy to be here. So praise the Lord. If you'll throw my first scripture up right there, brother, Matthew chapter 1, I ain't going to be too long. I'm just happy to be amongst this gathering of people. And Miss Meredith, she tore it up last night. And what quality of ministry you have the opportunity to set under. Man, I'm not trying to take you back to my past, but we never had this kind of quality of ministry. And I'm thinking, man, if I could have sat under this kind of a ministry, man, when I was your age, where could I be at right now? Oh, my gosh. And I tell you what's so cool, too, is you come in a gathering like this, and like Brother Lynn says, you don't feel like you have to get saved all over again. What you got last year, man, is still working today. And that is absolutely incredible. See, when I went to church, again, I'm not trying to drag you back in my past, we got saved every darn service. I'm telling you. And y'all don't know what you've been inspired from. You've never had nobody come back and work with what they call working with you. Let me show you what working with you is. If you didn't come to the altar when they had an altar service, if your knee was hurting, you had a cramp in your foot, and you just sat back behind the pew back there, just sat there because you wasn't able to walk, they felt like you was a sinner, and they was going to come back and work with you. They sang one or two stanzas, and if you didn't come after that, somebody's coming after you. And they come back, and they grab you by the hand like this, and they say, what about it? What about it? How about it, buddy? How about it? How about it? And they would how about you to death until finally you would get up and move to the altar just to get them to get off your back. And once you got to the altar, honey, you ain't seen nothing yet. They're going to really climb on your back once you get to the altar. And when they got on your back, you got to get up to give you some kind of relief. And finally, if you'll just get up and raise your hand and act like you received Jesus, they'll let you alone. Whether you got saved or not, they'll let you alone. And everybody in the house will go crazy because you know what? They think you got saved. But anyway, hallelujah. I'm just happy to be a part of this move of God that is absolutely unprecedented in this hour. And I'm just happy that you are going to go a lot farther than any of us older guys, I guess you could say, or ladies have ever thought about going. And see, I'm telling you too, man, you guys are going to prolong my days. I'm going to live longer because of who you are in Christ Jesus. The Scripture says, His seed shall prolong His days. And you are going to prolong my days. And I'm just so happy. First scripture up there, Matthew chapter 1, verse number 1. I've just been having this stuff work in my spirit for about a month or two, and I can't get away from it. And I'm not going to change anything because I'm ministering to a younger group of people. I just feel like you're going to be able to grab it quicker than some of the older folk that I talk to sometime. You got Matthew chapter 1, verse number 1 about to open up right here. And what we have from Malachi to Matthew is 400 years where God didn't say anything. Silence. God didn't say nothing. And it's interesting to me that when God does decide to say something in Matthew 1:1, He opens up with this right here, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. Went from an old covenant mentality, watch this, to a new covenant mentality. Really what He's saying here, people didn't catch it this time, I'm about to change gears like you've never seen before. And here's where we are right now. Man, we are in a shifting, man. We are in a time where things are changing that is absolutely unprecedented, man. And I don't want to be like the people that Jesus is going to talk to here in just a few minutes and be like staring at a mule at a new gate. Man, I want to shift with this thing. I want to go with this thing. I want to be like I've already got it in overdrive. I don't want to start in first, second, or third, man. I want to start in overdrive and take off. So He's giving a little bit of a warning here. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ. Now watch this terminology. The Son. Everybody say, I am a son. Watch this. The Son. Now watch what it says here. The Son of David and the Son of Abraham. Here's the two guys that Jesus is categorized with. The Son of David and the Son of Abraham. Now that's pretty heavy company right there. That is some company, man, that I could hang around with right there. But on the other side of the fence, David and Abraham's thinking, you know what, man, we in some heavy company right here. I got some good news for you, honey. You are the son, watch this, of God. You're not a bastard. You've got a daddy. You have got a daddy. Back in our neck of the woods, it's country as country can get. Watch this. And they got this famous saying back in Lake City is, who's your daddy? And it's a little stigma that they think is real funny, but it's the real truth. Most people in our area do not know who their daddy is. In Anderson County High School, where Justine goes to high school, the superintendent told me the other day that they've got 70%, a 70% rate of broken families. Where kids go to school there, 70% come from a broken family. And some of them don't even know who their daddy is. And if they do know who their daddy is, they ain't saw him in 6 or 7 months. That's pretty pitiful. That is pitiful. But I got some good news for you, honey. You've got a daddy. You've got a heavenly father that you, my gosh, that is so proud of you, that has already affirmed you, that's already approved of you. And He is waiting for you to flex your muscles and rear back like a hammer on a Winchester, honey. There's nothing, watch this, held back from nobody in this room right here. You can go for it, baby. See, when I was growing up, nobody told me to go for it. They told me to be careful. But I'm standing here telling you, man, rear back, go for it. Go for it. Go for all the gusto. Be all that God would have you to be. And He's behind you with the Holy Ghost blowing, saying, go, baby, go. Your Father is waiting for you to do great exploits. In the Old Testament, in the book of Daniel, the Scripture says, they that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. I'm going to take it to the New Testament and say this. There's a God that knows who you is, and now He's just waiting for you to rear back, man, and show yourself strong in Him. That's pretty incredible right there. But now watch this right here. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the Son of David, the Son of Abraham. There's something here that has a little bit of a stigma to it. Now, I want you to just listen. It ain't going to be very long. Has a little bit of a stigma to it. Go back to verse number 1, brother. There's a controversy here with the Scripture. You may or may not know this. There is a controversy here. And in their times, it caused a lot of problems. It caused a lot of strife. It caused a lot of yeah, gossip. And what it surrounded was their father. all three of these individuals here, Jesus, David, and Abraham, they had a controversy surrounding their father. Can you imagine being Jesus and walking out one day and somebody saying, "Who's your daddy?" And Jesus looking right back at him and saying, "God." And then wondering, "My God, what plane did you get off of?" See, Jesus, he tore up more religious ideology. Watch this, but just telling people that my father, he would say, "My father," they'd flip out. Now he could have said Joseph was my daddy, and they was all right with that. But when he associated himself with God being his father, it tore the religious dudes up, because at this point nobody has been able to relate to God as a son. In John 17, Jesus said, "You know what, man? I'm going to go to my father and your father." And here's the good news about this. If he is a heavenly father and we are his children, guess what that makes us? Heavenly children. There's not a scoundrel in here. There's not. We're heavenly people. Now, David, for instance, the son of David, I'm just going to show you. David had a controversy surrounding his daddy Jesse. I'm not going to go there because Abraham's going to get there. He had a little bit of a controversy surrounding his daddy Jesse. And for a lot of years, his brothers always thought he was the illegitimate son. And they scrutinized him, pushed him aside, made him look like he was nobody. He had a lot of peer pressure on him. But the guy that they thought, watch this, whose dad was not Jesse, he was the guy that went down and knocked the giant's head off. That's pretty incredible to me. That tears me up. Now, the guy I want to get to is Abraham. I want to talk about Abraham for about 10 or 15 minutes here. You may not know this, but Abraham had a controversy surrounding him and Isaac and Sarah about the birth of Isaac, and it was a pretty good sized controversy that a lot of people don't talk about, I guess because it's way on back there somewhere. But there was a controversy surrounding the birth of Isaac, and I'll show it to you in just a minute, that never did stop Abraham, and it never did stop Isaac. Now, you may or may not know this, but to the quote church world, the religious world, this group of people here, you are controversial to them. Can you imagine going into the first church? That's right. The first church with tattoos running down your arms. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4 earrings in your ears.
I cover up when I go down.
Yeah. You are controversial to the religious crowd. But you know what? You're in some pretty good company. Watch this, because Jesus also was controversial to the religious crowd. And you know what? I found this out about God. Controversy does not cause God to want to take a Valium. Controversy does not bother God. God is accustomed to controversy. Matter of fact, if I can say this, He likes controversial things. Go to Genesis chapter 22 right here. Remember, Jesus was the son of David and the son of Abraham. I want to hit this scripture right here in Genesis 22. Really familiar passage of scripture. Everybody here probably knows it by heart. But I just want to hit a few things right here and show you something about the controversial birth of Isaac. And it came to pass after these things. Notice how it says that. After these things. Watch this. That the Lord, watch this, did tempt Abraham. Now, what I want you to hear here, this is a little bit of a bad translation, but it'll work. The scripture says that the Lord did test Abraham, not to prove anything to God, and not to prove anything, watch this, to Abraham, but to prove to everybody else that's watching. There's some stuff, watch this, that does try our faith, watch this, not to prove anything to God, and not to prove anything to you, but to prove something to other people. When you should have been gone, you're still here. When your mama may have left you and your daddy may have left you, you're still here walking with God. Come on, somebody work with me right here just a minute. So watch this. It wasn't to prove anything to God. It wasn't to prove anything to Abraham, but it was to prove something to about a whole group of people here. Now, it says, after these things. That's interesting to me. After what things? If you go back in Scripture, all the way back to Genesis chapter number 12, you'll find that there's nine things that Abraham was tested with. That's interesting, nine. And here in Genesis chapter number 22 comes the tenth thing. Ten is a number of law. And the thing he's going to be tested with here in Genesis chapter number 22, watch this, is the sacrificing of his son, which says to me that Jesus, watch this, came to fulfill the law, and through his death, burial, and resurrection, he fulfilled the law completely and totally. So we're not under an old covenant mentality anymore. So watch this. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, watch this, behold, here I am. Next verse. And he said, now watch this. Take now thy son, thy only son. Stop right there. Wait a minute. Take now thy son, thy only son. What? Don't look right here, but don't look at that verse of scripture. Which son? Because he's got two sons. He's got Isaac and he's got Ishmael. Chapter 21, there is a separation that God brings, watch this, between Ishmael and Isaac. Yep. The scripture says, watch this, that, oh my gosh, the scripture says, I'm going to try to get calm down. The scripture says that Sarah saw Ishmael mocking Isaac. The historians say it's more than just saying he was making fun of Isaac. In that same passage of Scripture of Genesis 21, you'll find out that Ishmael is an archer. And literally, what Sarah saw was Ishmael trying to kill, watch this, the promised seed by using him as target practice. That's why at the cross, watch this, there was a separation from the first Adam, watch this, and the last Adam. Adam is not the issue anymore. Adam has been done away with. We're not in Adam anymore. We are in Christ. Am I making any sense right here? There had to be a separation. That's why, man, we live in such an hour right now that is so incredible. I grew up with them telling me I look like Adam all the time. Look like Adam all the time. You folks never grow up under that. There's been a separation. Adam has been done away with. It wasn't the second Adam, 1 Corinthians 15 talked about. It was the last Adam, which means they ain't no more Adam. It's just Christ. You know what I'm looking at here? I am looking at the many-membered body, watch this, of Jesus Christ, who looks just like their daddy. Yeah. Jesus said, when you've seen me, you have seen the Father. Take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac. Watch this, whom thou lovest. You know the scripture also says that Abraham loved Ishmael. And get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Next verse, sir. And Abraham, watch this, rose up early in the morning. Now notice what he does. Saddled his ass, took two of his young men with him, Isaac his son, clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went to the place which God told him. Hold it right there. Abraham is a wealthy man. He's got 318 servants. They'll do whatever he says at just at any word. My question is this. If he's got 318 servants, he got up early in the morning, why did he saddle his own donkey? He didn't leave this up to anybody else. Because where he's going to, watch this, nobody can do it like Abraham can. Because he's going to offer his son, watch this, which is a perfect sacrifice. So if it's going to be a perfect sacrifice that he's going to offer, this ass that he's going to saddle has to be perfect also. Which means that one, come on now, I'm going to talk real plain right here. Which means at one time I was an ass until Jesus saddled me. I've been called it a few times too. Instead of being called the son of Jesus, I've been called the son of a... But I won't say that word right there in this group of people. See, one time I was a royal A-double-S. But I read in the scripture where Jesus one time, he got up on top of one and rode it. Hallelujah. My God, this will preach right here. I was a royal one time, but you know what now? I'm the best ass that's ever been saddled. Why? Because God saddled me. God harnessed me. come on, baby, let the Lord ride on me. He said, take my yoke upon you, for it is easy and it's light. I'm glad to ride the Lord around. He saddled his ass, now watch this, and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. Now this next phrase tears me up. Watch this. It tears me up. And he clave, C-L-A-V-E, the wood. Does anybody know what the word clave means? It means, I thought when he said, when it says clave, now back home, when we say clave, we think that means, well, I clave my woman, hallelujah. No, the word clave, if you look it up in the Hebrew, it means split. Before they ever get to the mountain, which is a three-day journey, Abraham splits the wood, and in the process of splitting the wood, watch this, when the wood is split, if you're a country boy, sometimes when you split wood, you'll find worms in the wood. It has to be perfect. He split the wood, and before he even takes on his three-day journey, he inspects that wood to make sure, watch this, there's no worms in this wood, because worms cannot be mixed with a fire when the perfect sacrifice is laid on it. Now here's you another $50 question. How much wood does it take to burn a human sacrifice? I'm not talking about an armload of kindling. That is a lot of wood. I was in Trinidad a couple years ago driving down the road, and they had this big old bonfire up on the hillside there. And Raj, I said, what's going on up there, dude? He said, a barbecue. I said, well, what's it cost? He said, do you want to go to that barbecue? I said, what are you talking about? Are they roasting a pig or something like that? He said, no. He said, somebody died and they are burying them, cremating them. We was going too fast to smell. But how much wood, man? How much wood is he going to split? And how much wood is it going to take to carry to burn a human sacrifice? So he split the wood. Am I doing all right now? He split the wood, watch this, and they carried this wood on a three-day journey. Man, I tell you what, when Jesus embraced the cross, my gosh, this tears me up, honey. He claimed the wood. He split this thing right down the middle. And the wood that he claimed, watch this, was a perfect wood. It was a perfect cross, honey. And he walked down that Via Della Rosa. He walked down that path of suffering, my God, with that wood, watch this, upon his back. And he clave it to the point, watch this, man, my gosh, that he and the wood became one. So he clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place which God had told him. Next verse. Then on the third day, everybody say the third day. Now, you know, this is interesting to me too. Three-day journey, but really it was only an eight-hour walk. They're in Hebron, watch this, they're in Hebron, and Mount Moriah that they're going to, it's just really an eight-hour walk. Flip this backwards, watch this. Jesus went on a three-day journey and gave you a brand new beginning, eight being a brand new beginning. This is, you cannot get away from the finished work of Jesus. It is everywhere. Then on the third day, watch this, Abraham, watch this, lifted up his eyes. Now, Abraham's already got some practice in lifting up his eyes. This generation is different than the generation that I grew up in. Church I grew up in, go ahead and drop your head. Drop your head. We always had to keep lifting people's heads up. Drop it back down. This is called a head lifting ministry. Head lifting ministry. Every service got to lift their heads right back up. See, this is what's unique about this camp right here. It's not. Watch this. That we got to. That's it. It's not that you got to come back to every camp service. Watch this, and you got to have your head lifted up again. Man, you left here a year ago, and you come back with your head already lifted up. That is incredible to me. Now Abraham's got some practice in this, because in Genesis chapter number 18. again, 3 days after being circumcised, and I'm not going to go there because of time, but after 3 days being circumcised, while he's hurting in this area right here, the scripture says he takes his eyes off what's hurting and he lifted his eyes up and he sees the Lord. So he's already got some practice in lifting up his eyes. See, for too long we've been watching what hurts. Genesis 17, watch this. Abraham was the first dude, watch this, that got circumcised. He circumcised himself in the same day. Watch this, circumcised 318 of his own boys. That's incredible to me. What a bloody mess. Abraham circumcised himself close.
I know you heard from God.
Abraham circumcised himself at 100 years old. That's incredible to me. The circumcision ain't what's incredible. What's incredible to me, at 100 years old, you're able to find it. Come on now. Are y'all all right here? If you don't know what I'm talking about, don't ask nobody. Now I know what the scripture means, that God calls those things that are not as though they were. I'm getting ready to circumcise myself, but where is it? God calls those things not as though they were. Oh, hallelujah. Woo! If you don't know what I'm talking about, don't ask nobody. Don't worry about it. Just act like you know what I'm talking about. This is for the older folk. Lord gosh, how did I do this? Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, watch this, and saw the place afar off. Next verse, sir. Spit much of income out on that one. Wasn't no Viagra around either. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Watch this next verse. This gets good. Watch this now. It gets good. And Abraham, watch this, took the wood that they carried for 3 days of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac. Apparently, Abraham carried the wood himself. He don't lay the wood over on Isaac until they get to the foot of that mountain. Maybe that's why it took so long. But you know what? Abraham here, he's had his youth renewed too. And laid it up on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and the knife. And watch this. Don't read too fast. You got to read this slow. And they went both of them together. Abraham and Isaac and the wood, they're walking in unison up the mountain. The two other guys are hanging around at the bottom of the mountain with the asses. You got to watch who you hang out with. Now, I want you to see the last part of this verse. And am I too long, Miss Lisa? I just got about 10 minutes right here. And they went both of them together. Now notice that phrase, and they went both of them together. Next verse. Watch this now. Watch this. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his personal pronoun, father, and said, watch the terminology, my father. And he said, here am I. Watch the next turn. My son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Hold it right there. Isaac is now aware of the controversy of his own birth. He speaks to Abraham and says, my father, I know you are my father. Abraham responds back to him and says, my son. Father, son. He says, we got the fire, we got the wood, but where is, something now is clicking in the back of Isaac's mind. Where is the lamb? Could it be a possibility that I am, since I am carrying the wood, I am who you are going to sacrifice? Now, let me work something right here. Let me work something right here just a minute. Daddy, have you forgot about the controversy of my birth? If you, this is going on in the back of his mind, if you take me up here and kill me, all the naysayers and the gossipers are going to say, you know what? He really wasn't Abraham's boy. His daddy was not Abraham after all. Abraham killed an illegitimate son, and his daddy probably was Abimelech. Now I lost you right there. This is Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 21. Can you back up to verse 1, Genesis chapter 21, please? Can you give me about 5 more minutes? I'm tore up right now. Genesis chapter 21. And the Lord, watch this, visited, and I'm going to explain some stuff to you right here. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. Genesis chapter 18. The Lord comes to Abraham and Sarah's house, him and two other individuals. Make a long story short, he says to Abraham, Sarah, your wife, is going to have a boy. Watch this. He puts verse number 10, he puts a time frame on it. He says, 1 year from the day that I am here, 1 year from the day that I'm here, Sarah is going to have a son. Sarah laughs. Then she was questioned about laughing, watch this, and lies about it. You're not lying to Abraham. You're lying to the dude that knows everything. Then watch this. Now, 1 year. He said, 1 year from this very day right here, Sarah's going to have a baby. Sarah's going to have a baby. Now, what's interesting about that is Abraham and Sarah take off on a journey. They go down through Sodom and Gomorrah. You know the story about that. And chapter number 20, don't go there, but in chapter number 20, her youth has returned now, and she looks like she's 25 years old. She is the best-looking woman around. And they go down into the land of the Philistines, watch this, in a place called Ger, and there's a king there by the name of Abimelech, and he sees her, and he thinks, my God, this is the best-looking woman I've ever saw in my life. I've got all kinds of women in my harem, but I've never seen nobody like this. Who is this 25-year-old woman? And he goes, and he seizes this good-looking woman and brings her into his harem, and watch, says Sarah spends the night in Abimelech's harem. Yep. That makes some controversy. That's in chapter number 20. Now, chapter 21, watch this. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. Now, if I'd been God to calm this controversy down, what I would have done, I would have said, you know what? Let's put this thing off maybe 1 month. Because if he's born right now, at this particular time right now, they're going to say he is Abimelech's boy. There's your controversy. But God was not tore up about the controversy. He said you're going to have a baby in 1 year, and I don't care if you did just walk out of the Abimelech's harem. I'm not bothered by your past. I'm not bothered by your lies. I'm true to my word, my God. You're going to have a baby just when I said you was going to have a baby. So when Abraham's walking up the mountain, Isaac looks at him and says, you know what? The controversy has not yet died down. My God, it's not yet died down. If you kill me, they're going to say I'm Abimelech's son. But Abraham's thinking, if I do kill you, I know, my God, he'll raise you back up. I'm not going back off this mountain without you. I'm not going back off this mountain with you. Here's what I want to tell you. God ain't going nowhere without you. I don't care what your past is, who you've done it with, and how many you've done it with. God ain't going nowhere without this generation. Yeah, brother. Gabriel probably leaned over and said, hey, wait a minute. I was one of those angels that escorted you. Wait a minute. She just walked out. No. They're going to say that was nine. No, not now. God said, I said it. I'm not moved by her past or what she came out of. She's going to have a baby. Let God be true and every man a liar. Now, go back to Genesis chapter 22. I don't know if I did that justice or not. Genesis 22, what verse was I in? Verse number 7. I'm trying to wind down right here. Sucking. This will make you want to stretch out like a lizard on a hard rock. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Next verse, sir. And Abraham said, My son, there he is again, my son. God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Watch this now, watch this. They was about to have a little bit of a separation right there. Watch this. So they, both of them, God, I'm not bothered by the controversy. It's not going to separate me from you. What you have to do is get the same mind I got. So they, both of them, went on together. Next verse. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham, watch this, built an altar there and laid the wood in order. Laid the wood in order. All this wood they carried, he laid it in order. From about the best I can find out, do you know what the order of the wood was? Abraham's going to stretch out. Or he's going to stretch Isaac out just like this on that wood. The wood has to cover the flesh. He built the altar. And if Abraham built the altar, guess what? It's a perfect altar. It's perfect wood. It's in order. And notice this, and he bound Isaac. He bound Isaac. Isaac's realizing now, I'm the star of this show. And it's not a good one. Now notice, bound Isaac. Jesus was nailed to the cross. He has to bind his son. Because even though now Isaac is realizing that he is the sacrifice, there is a good chance when that knife comes down, watch this, if he's not bound, there could be a human response that could, instead of making one good final blow, which it has to be a perfect sacrifice, it could be a glancing blow and the sacrifice would have been thwarted. So he's bound so that there will be no human response. Do you know Jesus had to be bound to the cross? He was nailed here. Why? Why did Jesus have to be bound? So that there would be no human response. He was 100% God. Watch this. But he was 100% man too. Watch this. Your human response, you may not know this, your human response to everything has been bound through the redemptive work of Jesus. We don't respond. I'm sorry. We don't respond humanly. We respond godly. Nobody ever told me that, Bishop. You don't have to crucify your flesh every day. Somebody bound your flesh to a cross 2,000 years ago and killed it. He did it right
the first time.
And bound Isaac his son and laid him on, watch this, laid him on the altar. I like this, up on the wood. Next verse. I'm going to quit right here. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, took the knife, it's a perfect knife, to slay his son. Next verse. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. Next verse, I'm going down about verse 14. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. Next verse. And Abraham, third time, Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked and beheld behind him a ram caught in a thicket and by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Next verse, my last verse. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. What's Jehovah Jireh mean? Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. It means what? Sorry. Way on down the line, it may mean that. Watch what it means. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall, there's the real meaning of Jehovah Jireh, shall be seen. If you look it up in Hebrew, it means Yahweh, God, saw the sacrifice of His Son, and He was satisfied with it. If nobody believes it or not, God is satisfied with the sacrifice of His sons. He looked into the mount of God, watch this, and He saw the sacrifice of His Son, and He was satisfied with it. See, we have cheapened this word right here by saying God provided. And we always thinking that God is going to provide. Watch this. If you'll just look into the mount of God, watch this, you'll see where God did provide. The true meaning of this word is look to the mount of God. The psalmist said in Psalms 121, I believe it is, I will look unto the hills from whence cometh my help. In Numbers chapter number 21, I believe it is, Moses, watch this, was having a trouble with snakes, and they was biting the people, and God said, hey, if you'll just take a serpent and lift it up on the pole, and the people will just look to the pole, every time they're bit, they'll live. Jesus said, as Moses lifted up, watch this, the serpent, the wizard, so also must the Son of Man be lifted up. Listen, baby, all you got to do is look back to the mount of God. Every single time, and see your champion. This tears me up. This tears me up. I don't care what your past is like. God looks to the mount Himself when it comes to you, and He sees where your past was nailed down. You want to be real honest with you, He don't even see your past. All He sees is who you are in Christ. And this is going to be a little bit strong. Jesus will always have preeminence, but when He looks at you, He says, you know what, that looks just like my firstborn.
Oh, hallelujah.
And see, when you see who you are in Christ, and you begin to live out that beauty, you know what's going to happen? You know, we got all these, I start to say crazy, but I won't say it. We got all these people on TV trying to tell you how to get wealth. Let me tell you how wealth is going to come to the body of Christ. Our beauty is in Christ. In Genesis chapter number 12, in a time of famine. When they talk about how bad the economy is getting, you know, I think, oh my God, this is a time for God to really show out right now. It's a setup. In a time of famine, watch this. Abraham, two times with Sarah seized by a wicked king. Abraham takes this good-looking woman down the first time in Genesis chapter number 12, and watch this. You know how Abraham became rich? It was because of his wife Sarah. Abraham takes her down into Egypt. Watch this. Pharaoh seizes her, and because of Sarah, he turns over a lot of wealth. Watch this, because of Sarah. Watch how wealth is going to come to us. When we realize who we are in Christ Jesus, the world's going to say, my God, no man can do that kind of extreme makeover. What can we give you to cause us to have what you got? And we'll say, silver and gold have we not, but such as we have, arise and walk. And they say, you may not have the silver and gold, but we got it. We're just going to have an exchange.
Yes, sir. That's good right
there. Thank you.
Amen. Hallelujah. Say wow. Fantastic. Pastor Justin said, you don't have to ask me to speak. I wouldn't have missed that for the world. Amen. That was phenomenal. Thank you so much for sharing. Hallelujah. That was fabulous stuff right there. Amen. Stand with me this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Phenomenal. Thank you, Pastor Justin. Hallelujah. Lots of good stuff.